Our reading this morning comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. This can be found on page 846 in the Pew Bibles. Mark, chapter 10, reading from verses 17 to 31. The rich young man. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honour your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." May the Lord bless this reading from his holy word. Amen.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. "Let's go for a walk," someone will say. And the reply will be, "But that's outside. It's away from the television. Will it be up a hill? It's too cold. It's too far. It's too boring." There are no shortage of excuses which can be offered instead of going for a walk. But if we do go, we might find ourselves enjoying it. All is going well. The walk is not too taxing. The path is good and level. But sometimes the best walk can change. You come round a corner or over the crest of a hill and the path is all blocked. There's no easy way through. There can be many reasons why the path is blocked. A large tree falling in the way is certainly going to do it. But that's not the challenge facing us in the story we read together earlier. A man comes up to Jesus and he is asking about the life of God's kingdom. He is asking to follow Jesus. The way ahead seems clear. Jesus is going to call him to follow, and all will be well. And yes, Jesus does call the man, "Follow me." But we find the way is blocked. It isn't blocked by Jesus. Jesus doesn't put any blockage in the way. It isn't blocked by some external problem. There isn't a large tree that's fallen over the path and makes it difficult for the man to follow. The way is blocked not by something outside of the man, but by something inside the man. As we shall see, the man is going to come up with three different excuses that will keep him from following Jesus. He doesn't offer them as excuses, but the effect of what he says is to put a blockage in the pathway to prevent him following Jesus. The last song recorded by the Beatle George Harrison shortly before his death in November 2001 was with the Jules Holland Big Band. It was called "Horse to Water." "You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink," the refrain goes. You can hear Jesus call you to follow him, but only you can follow Jesus. I can't make you. No one can make you follow Jesus. You can be reading Mark's Gospel every day through Lent and still not following Jesus. You can be regular at church on Sunday and still not be following Jesus. Only you can follow Jesus. It's not a funny story, but a true one. I visited a man in Ayr Hospital one time. He'd suffered a massive heart attack. He was in the intensive care unit, the scariest intensive care unit I've ever been in. He was on a metal table in an empty room with a huge space all around him so that a whole team could get in at any moment to work on him. He was able to tell me that he'd been to the GP back at home and she'd prescribed for him a course of medication. Well, she doesn't know anything, so he hadn't taken it. She noticed he wasn't improving, she changed the medication, and of course he didn't take that either. And he told me he was surprised and mystified as to what had happened and why he'd ended up in the hospital. And I promise you that's a true story. You can take a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. What Jesus can do and what Jesus has done is call you to follow him. What we can do together is encourage one another to follow Jesus. But you have to follow Jesus yourself. Will you follow Jesus? In our story, the man approaches Jesus and his first words display his knowledge of Jesus. "Good teacher," says the man. Are we not shocked to hear Jesus respond to this apparently appropriate greeting with a rebuke? "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Isn't that surprising? Is Jesus good? Yes, he is. Is Jesus a teacher? Yes, he is. Is Jesus a good teacher? Once again, yes, he is. But Jesus is much more than a teacher. Jesus is much more than even a good teacher. What this man is doing is using the small amount of knowledge he has of Jesus to put Jesus into a box marked good teacher. I already know who Jesus is. I know all about Jesus. That's what the man is saying. It's a long time since I've seen an episode of Mastermind, but I don't suppose it's changed much over the years. The contestant comes in, sits in the seat, and your specialist round tonight is the life and times of, and they name some historical figure. Let's say Winston Churchill. Sometimes they do extremely well, They can answer all the questions with no passes. And we are rightly impressed at their knowledge about Winston Churchill. But such people know about Winston Churchill. They don't know Winston Churchill himself. There's a difference between having a knowledge of facts and knowing someone. Big difference. What this man knows about Jesus has become a blockage to him following Jesus. He knows Jesus as a good teacher, but only as a good teacher. Notice in verse 20, he's sticking with the teacher bit, and the bit he thinks that he needs to change is to drop the word good. He misses the point of Jesus' rebuke altogether. I might know Jesus as a teacher, but, and I don't mean any disrespect to any teachers here, we know that teachers don't get everything right all the time. I know Jesus the teacher, but I might not know Jesus the miracle worker. I might not know Jesus the compassionate one who will reach out and touch someone who's sick. I might not know Jesus the Lord of all creation. I might not know Jesus who is the King in God's kingdom. I might not know Jesus who died on the cross for my forgiveness and yours. The blockage in the road is knowing only a part of who Jesus is and choosing to ignore all the rest. Perhaps knowing something about Jesus and not wanting to know any more. This kind of partial knowledge, putting Jesus in a box, is seeking to exercise control over the Lord Jesus. And as soon as you say it like that, it's obviously wrong. We know this or that about Jesus and we put him into a box marked teacher or religious or whatever it is we put on the box. And we think we've got Jesus sorted. But to follow Jesus, we must follow the whole Jesus, not just part of Jesus. This is especially important when we come to Easter and the cross. Too many want to know Jesus without the cross. Far too few have ever surveyed the wondrous cross, have ever pondered anew what the Almighty did on that cross of Christ. Too few know Jesus there at his cross. Knowing Jesus is good. We can't follow Jesus and not know him. But the danger is we let the little that we know become a barrier to us knowing more of Jesus, knowing him more fully. Don't give up following Jesus because you've decided to limit Jesus to what you already know about him. Follow Jesus from one degree of knowing him to another. Follow Jesus and he will make himself more fully known to you than ever before. The way to get to know Jesus is to admit that we don't know everything about him and still to follow him. The conversation between Jesus and the man continues. Jesus assumes that the man knows the commandments. You know the commandments? He's not doubting that he knows them. In response to this assumption, the man tells Jesus he does indeed know the commandments, that he has perfectly kept them since his youth. Now Jesus looked at the man and loved him. If we get into thinking about whether or not the man really had kept the commandments, we're missing the point. The point isn't, was he right or wrong in saying that he'd kept the commandments? The barrier to following Jesus here is not that he didn't keep the commandments. The barrier is that he thinks he has. And because he's kept all the commandments, he's done it himself. And he doesn't need Jesus at all. See what I have done. I'll let you away with that if you're talking about hanging wallpaper and you get it straight. Or putting up a shelf and it's level and it's going to stay on the wall. But in the presence of this Saviour, Jesus, it's never going to be right to talk about what you or I have done. I've kept all the commandments. I don't need a saviour. I don't need Jesus. Well, no wonder he's not following the saviour if he thinks he doesn't need a saviour. I'm a good person. I don't need forgiven. How long will we continue in this foolishness? When will we learn to sing and live what we sing? Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. How good do you think good enough is? How many commandments do you have to keep for God to be pleased with you? Giving to charity, coming to church, saying your prayers, keeping the commandments. It's not good enough. Jesus said, no one is good except God alone. This is the glory of the gospel. The God who alone is good takes his own goodness and clothes us in it. Clothes us in God's own goodness through Jesus and his death on the cross. The gospel declares to us and for us that in Jesus we are made right with God. We are made right with God by the goodness of God becoming ours through Jesus. Good enough is God. Thanks be to God who makes us good with his own goodness through Jesus our Saviour. In the second place, the man might be saying, I've kept all the commandments, so you owe me something, God. He's twisting things round. Because I've kept all the commandments, you're in my debt. I've done what you wanted, so now you'll do what I want. Do we believe what we sung just a moment ago? Were the whole realm of nature mine? That were an offering far too small? Not just my keeping a few commandments, but if I were able to offer the whole universe to God, that would still be too small to place God in my debt. There is nothing we offer God, nothing that will ever put him in our debt. God owes us nothing. By grace, God gives us everything in Jesus. In Jesus, we receive God's love for us. We know our sins forgiven. We are blessed by the gift of the Spirit. We are enfolded in God's wonderful love. This is not because God owes us anything, but because God loves us. The gospel declares to us that there is nothing we can offer God to purchase his favor. We don't keep the commandments to earn something from God, but in response to God's wonderful love. This is how we live, following Jesus. It's long past time to stop all the DIY, trying to save ourselves or make ourselves good or earn something with God. Wholly dependent upon God's grace and the cross of Christ, let us follow Jesus. Jesus loves the man. Jesus loves you. It's because Jesus is loving that he's not going to leave this man here without calling him to follow. But there's one more blockage in the path. You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The blockage isn't that the man had possessions, but that he's too attached to his possessions. There are many who are rich, who hold their possessions lightly, who use them to serve others. Remember the parable of the sower? We had it in our Lent readings a few weeks ago. And others are ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, enter in and choke the word and prove it unfruitful. Riches and possessions are deceitful. They tempt us to trust them, to depend upon the things that we have. But all our possessions are vulnerable to rust and moth, if not to banking collapse and stock market fluctuations. At the very least, it is foolish to entrust our future to something so vulnerable, when in Jesus we can entrust our future to what is most certain and secure. But too many say to Jesus with this man, "I don't need you, because I've got lots of possessions." When the Lord Jesus speaks of having treasure in heaven, are we not reminded of another of his sayings? "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You can have possessions, as many as you like, but if your possessions become your treasure, if your possessions become where your heart is, the focus of your life, your heart's joy, you are truly lost. Either your heart will be set upon Jesus, or it will be set upon some other thing. Possessions, career, family, sports, whatever it is. And that other thing will prevent us following Jesus. That thing we treasure will become a blockage in the road to our walking with Christ. The road on which Jesus will lead us is a narrow road. It is not wide enough for you to carry anything, to cart along a whole bundle of possessions. It's just wide enough for you. "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." We need Jesus more than we need anything else. We need to follow Jesus more urgently than we need any other thing. What is there that you are clinging on to which is preventing you from following Jesus? What is there you treasure more than you treasure Christ? Today is a good day to let it go. Today is a good day to transfer your heart from treasuring anything but Jesus. God has fixed his love upon you. God demonstrates his great love for you by giving the treasure of his heart for you. He gives his beloved son Jesus for you and your salvation. Jesus loves you so much, he has endured the cross for you. Jesus calls you to follow him because he loves you. Today is a good day to clear away all the blockages we have placed in the path. A good day to follow Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we're ashamed as we bow before you, for we recognize that we have blocked that pathway and prevented ourselves following Jesus. We think we already know everything there is to know. We think that we can do for ourselves what only Jesus can do. We depend upon other things rather than Christ and his cross. Lord, whichever one it is, especially for us today, help us to let it go and to turn our eyes towards Jesus. Help us to empty our hands and to cling on to his cross. For there is our only hope. Father, right now, change our lives as we seek to follow Jesus. Lord, be at work among us quickly for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.